And many a time I might want to throw in the towel, but I'm glad, thank God, tonight that I'm still doing what I'm doing. And I want to finish. Brother Billy Canoy said it very well years ago. He's about to leave this world. Brother Billy Canoy looked at Brother Joe Arthur down in the hospital in Greensboro, North Carolina. And he said, "Brother Joe, I've been in the deep end for a long time." He said, "The last thing I want to do is leave in the shallow end." He said, "I want to go out in the deep end." And so that's what I want to do. I told someone the other day, I was in a meeting. I said, "I'd rather go right now and leave with a testimony that I love Jesus than I had to ruin that and leave out of this life and go a different way." So I appreciate the opportunity to be down, Brother Barry, and I just trust that God will give you something from the Word of God that I bring, and I won't be long. And it's tough when you preach right before folk eat, so I won't be long, and I'll try to give you what the Lord's got on my heart. Chapter number 13 of the book of Exodus and verse number 17. And I just want to read down through verse number 22 of Exodus chapter 13, verse number 17. "It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. The children of Israel went up harassed out of the land of Egypt. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. They took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them through the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people." Look back, if you would, at verse number 17. And I want you to see in verse number 17 a phrase that's found in the middle of the verse. The Bible says, "And God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near." I was reading in a personal Bible study one day and reading through this passage. And I preach many times throughout that, and I enjoy preaching throughout the Old Testament. And I was reading this in a personal time in my life, and right in the middle of reading it, I ran across the phrase where God said He led them through a way that was not near. In other words, God led them the long way around. God led them a way that they'd have never thought they'd have had to go. God led them a direction they'd have never thought that they would have to do. But God led them the long way around. I'll share with you, when God gave me this message, when I walked in on a Sunday morning, I'd been preaching a revival meeting, and I come in on Sunday morning, and my associate pastor was leading the music, others were doing what they were doing, and I was sitting and glancing over the auditorium, and God spoke to my heart, and I want to share with you what God showed me, and I trust tonight it'll be a blessing and be a help to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Thank you, God, for the good message from the good man of God that we've heard preached this morning. Thank you for this good church, beautiful facility. Thank you for the dear man of God and His people that have sacrificed to be a blessing to others and came into this meeting. Thank you for the men of God that are here this morning. Many, God, that I've known personally. Others, God, that I've met today. Lord, I appreciate God's men. Lord, I pray, God, you bless and touch them and use them for the glory of God. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, you just guide my lips. Lord, I don't want to say one thing that, God, you wouldn't be pleased with. Lord, I don't want to do one thing today that would hinder this great meeting. So, God, I pray that, God, you'd help your preacher to preach today what you'd have on my heart. Now, Lord, I pray right now, God, you continue to work. Thank you, God, this young man's testimony a while ago. Brother Rochester's testimony as he come in, slid under the altar and got some help. Lord, I'm so glad, God, you're a very present help in the time of trouble. Lord, I'm thankful, God, that you're able to do, God, great things in meetings like this. Now, Lord, I pray, fill us, give me power, Lord, unction from God. Lord, I'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. I want to share with you just a few moments about that phrase, the long way around. One Sunday morning, I come walking in my church. I'd been in a meeting somewhere. I don't remember where it was. And I came in on Saturday. It was late afternoon. And I came home, went out to eat supper with my family. And my wife and daughter and I got back in. And I went in, got ready for service on Sunday morning. And I leave out on Sunday morning, drive to the house of God. I get into church. My office is down in the building behind the sanctuary. And I go down to my office and I go down there and study and kind of read over what I'm doing and pray and get ready for the service. And I come up to the auditorium and service already begun. The
choir was beginning to sing. I walk up the side door, I come up on the platform. And when I was standing down on the platform, I looked out over the auditorium. And when I looked out over the auditorium, to my left was a 13-year-old boy that has cancer. He has a 16% survival rate. The cancer had already come back his second time. And there in his life, he's battling a cancer that's going to take him out of this world apart from the grace of God and God touching him. We'd anointed him. We had prayed over him. We'd asked God to touch him. But the cancer he was battling was only diagnosed 3 times by Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem. All 3 children had died, and now here he was going through it. I looked at his mom and dad sitting there. I looked at his grandparents sitting there, siblings sitting there, and there was no doubt the battle was great in their life. I looked back to the left-hand corner, and the left-hand corner of the church was a man in the back that had been working a job for so many years and had been faithful to that job. He was the sole breadwinner for his family. And I looked back in the left-hand corner, there that man stood, and he had just lost his job. It wouldn't be long, the house would be in danger, the finances of his family. He was not only just there that morning, but he was a tithing man of that church. We support 200 missionaries. That man was a big part of our mission program, giving Faith Promise Missions. And he stood there without a job and being faithful to God. I looked in the middle section of the church, and right in the middle section of the church was another family going through a hardship. In the right-hand corner was another man that had been faithful for 30 years of his life. And there he was battling cancer, just diagnosed in the last week. Up in the very front was a little family sat on the second row, faithful, tithing there every week. You could count on them. And I looked there, and they sat, and their little boy, I had been told to abort him, that he'd never be right. Of course, they didn't believe in that, just like we don't. And that little boy now had a good life, and that little boy now was doing well. Matter of fact, they say now it's a miracle. There's not even an issue of a problem, and God has touched him. But they just went through a great battle where the best doctors in North Carolina told him to do one thing. And his wife had called me, and I was in a meeting, and called me and said, and she was weeping hysterically. And she had said, "Preacher, I don't know what to do. We're in the emergency room. We're behind the curtain. The doctors are talking to us, and they want to do something. I don't think it's right." She said, "What do I do?" I told her, I said, "Listen, ask the doctors to leave, the best doctors in America." I said, "Ask them to leave." I said, "Close the curtain and close the door." I said, "You and Brother Chris, get out on your knees, and you say, 'God, you've been faithful in the past, and you stood with us in the past, and you showed us what to do in the past.'" And I said, "You ask God to one more time show you what to do." She called me back a little later. She said, "Preacher, I believe with all my heart that God doesn't want us to do what the doctors say do." I said, she said, "I believe with all my heart that God wants us to go another direction." And she had asked God to heal her little boy, and she believed God had. Now, friend, listen, I believe with all my heart today we ought not be hypocrites, and we ought not say we believe in prayer and then we doubt that God can heal folk. I believe with all my heart God's able to do it. Hey, I serve the same God today of Elijah and Jeremiah and others. I serve the same God today of your New Testament, and God is able to do anything God so desires to do. Amen. Make a long story short about that. They told the doctors, they said, "Listen, we don't want you to turn this shunt thing back up. We don't want you to do this. We believe God touched him." Well, those doctors were adamant. They were adamant. They were adamant saying, "Man, you don't want to do that." She said, "Listen, I'm telling you, God's let me know God's touched my boy." And so they turned it off completely. They said, "His head's going to swell." They said, "Man, you're going to be back down here in hours." That's been several months ago. Now the only problem they have with him is he runs around the church and won't sit still. Only problem they have with him is he's wide open. You say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" Hey, I'm not talking about folks in the church that were kind of halfway in. I'm not talking about folks in the church that didn't tithe. I'm not talking about folks in the church that weren't faithful. I'm talking about sometime they walk in my office and, "Brother Willis, they're the most faithful. They give, they tithe. They're men of God like you that have preached the Bible and been faithful." And then all of a sudden a heart attack. And then another heart attack. And I'm going to tell you right now, whether we say it or not, whether we admit it or not, there's many times we say, "God, what in the world are you doing? God, what's going on? God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I'm trying to do my best to live for you, God, and it seems like everything's going backwards." I was preaching a meeting one time. You know how it is, any meeting you're in, there's always somebody smarter than you in it. And I was preaching a meeting one time, the lady come up to me, and I'd made a statement during the message. I'd said during the message while I was preaching, I said that there have been times that I've questioned God. And I said that. And when I got done, she came up to correct me. And she goes, she said, "Preacher, listen, I enjoyed the message today. You can always tell a butt's coming. I enjoyed the message today. I call it Billy Goat Christianity. I love my preacher, Bud. I love that message, Bud. And I knew it was coming." And she said, "But you made a statement during the message." I said, "Ma'am, I made a lot of statements. You've got to help me. Which one are you talking about?" And she said, "You said that you have questioned God." She said, "I don't think you ought to do that." I said, "Ma'am, the greatest person that ever lived on this earth, the greatest man that ever walked on this earth, was the Lord Jesus Christ. There were 7 sayings from the cross of Calvary. And one of those sayings went like this: my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In his human form, all the sin of all the world had blanked out between him and God. And listen, right at that point in his life, he's crying out and said, my God, why?" And listen, I'm telling you, friend, I promise you, if you serve God long enough, hey, I'm not a novice in it anymore. I'm 45 years old, called to preach 17, started pastoring at 20. I'm not a novice at it anymore. Lord, though I've got a lot to learn, but there's one thing I found out. I'll never, in the long as I live, ever understand everything God's doing. Hey, you know what I did? Hey, when I first started preaching, everybody come to my office, man. They'd come in there, and when they come to my office, I'd always have an answer, you know. "Well, this is probably why you're going through it. Oh, I'm sure this is why you're dealing with that. And I'm sure this is why you got this battle." And I'd be a boy, I'd help them. I wouldn't have a clue. I wouldn't have any idea. Young preacher trying to say the right thing. You know what I do now? The older I've got, when they walk in, I don't know what to say. We get out on our knees and I cry with them and I pray with them and I say, "Man, I don't understand it, but I know one thing. He's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still doing well, and I have to trust Him." Here in this passage of the Word of God, you know the story. But I want to share something with you just a moment. If you go back to the nation of Israel, you know that God led them out of Egypt. They got out of Egypt the same way that you and I are going to glory. Hey, they wasn't getting out till the blood was applied. But when God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you," has a great picture of typology in your Old Testament of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to watch this. The Bible said when they left out of Egypt, they came out with a high hand. Now, you look at that a couple of different ways. I believe literally, that literally means that hand of God, that great hand, that powerful hand of God that brought them out of the land of Egypt. And friend, it was the hand of God that brought me out of sin. Hey, He reached way down and got a hold of me. I had a fella call me the other day when I was out doing something spiritual. I was out playing golf and I'd been preaching revival in the church nearby the house. And a guy called me and said, "Preacher, I don't mean to bug you, but something just happened at work." And I said, "What?" He said, "I got to share it with you." And they work around these big vats of stuff and liquids and chemicals and things. And he said, "There at work, they'd have a little bird fly inside the building, and that bird somehow had run into one of those vats and fell down in some of that liquid. And the bird was stuck in that liquid." And he said, "Preacher, I was standing there." And the man said, "Let's don't let him die there." And nobody else could reach him. But they had this one fella had a long arm. And that old boy reached down in there. And he got that bird out. And by the time he got that bird out, that boy in the church said, "Preacher, I'm telling you, I couldn't stand it. All of a sudden, I saw myself deep down in that vat. Realized I was lost on my way to hell. And God reached farther down than I could ever reach up. I'm glad the Lord hand is not shortened that He cannot save. I'm glad, thank God, God knows the way we go." But there's another implication of that. Also, it could be that when Israel comes out of Egypt, they got their hands high. Hey, man, you say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Let me tell you somebody. When I got saved by the grace of God, I was the worst kind of sinner. I was a lost church member. Sung in the youth choir. First time I ever tried marijuana in my life was in a parsonage of a Baptist church where I preached to some as wicked as I was. Lost without God. But that Sunday night when God saved me, I walked outside and the stars were on dress parade. God overturned a bucket of honey in my soul. And thank God it's been oozing out between my ears. I'm going to be all aching ever since. I got saved by the grace of God. And the Bible said Israel come out with a high hand. I like it when folk get saved. Praise God, I like when they come out shouting, "Hallelujah. Glory to God, I'm glad." Lord, we can't get excited about being saved. I don't know what in the world we get excited about. But it wasn't long now after that journey out of the land of Egypt. Brother Jarvis, it wasn't long because, see, Pharaoh never wanted to let them go to start with. Now, if I use a little bit of type here, you stay with me. I believe you can see Pharaoh's a good type of the devil. And the devil had those people bound. And God set them free by the blood. and then they're coming out. But the devil don't never quit. And the devil don't never give up. And by the way, God knows that. And God knows he's not going to quit. And God knows he's not going to give up. And so what God did is God took them the long way around.
Now listen to me. How many times in your life have you wondered why God cared you a certain way? Why God led you a certain way? Let me tell you what happened to me. When I got saved by the grace of God, now, listen, I'm not one of those that fought being called to preach. I didn't wrestle with it. I didn't run from it. God saved me, called me to preach 1 week later. And I called to preach 1 week later. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if that can happen or not. Well, you have to take that up with God. That's been a long time ago. Amen. 1 week later, God called me to preach. I was pastoring my first church at the age of 20. Probably shouldn't have done it that young. Made a whole lot of mistakes. Started out there. Hey, but can I tell you something right now? When I got saved in a convention in a Southern Baptist church. You know what they did? They sent me to the college they wanted me to go to. I didn't know nothing about colleges. I didn't know anything about schools. I'm talking about the long way around. I didn't know anything. But they sent me to a school that they wanted me to go to. And so here I was. I go to school. They dropped me off there at that school. The very first Bible class that I enter in, the professor stands in front of us and said, I want to make it very clear that I do not believe the Word of God is literal. I do not believe the first five books of the Bible really took place. And if you do, you're an idiot. I finally told that professor before I left that school. I said, sir, do you know your name's in the Bible? He said, yes. I said, yeah, thou fool. Amen. I said, I promise you right now, according to the Word of God, that Bible's real. But I went to that school. Man, I'm telling you what, listen, I was a freshman in that school, just called to preach, teenage boy, and I was in that school, and while I was in that school, they had mixers across the state line. So that school that my church supported, I could have a dance and serve alcohol across the state line. My church put money into it. I'm talking about the long way around. And here I was in that school. Man, I wasn't getting nothing. Hey, I wasn't independent Baptist. I don't even know if I was Buzzard Baptist. I have no idea. But there's one thing I knew. There wasn't something right about that. There was something wrong about that. I thought, Lord God, just save me. I don't need all that anymore. It's got to be better than this. So one day I was doing something spiritual. I went down to the library. And I was sitting in the library and I was reading the Sports Illustrated. I can't remember back then, Redskins, Cowboys, something. I can't remember back when both of them could win a game. And I was going back and I was reading that thing. And I looked out the window. And I looked out the window. Here comes a girl across the parking lot. I mean, I looked out the window and don't look at me like that. I preach a lot of youth meetings. I had a mama come to me a while back and said, preacher, pray for my daughter. She likes boys. I said, in this day and time, you better thank God she does. Amen. So don't look at me like that. Hey, I looked out the window, and when I looked out the window, there she come walking across the parking lot, and I looked out there, and she went across there. And so help me, the Holy Ghost said, there goes your wife. I'm being honest. I don't even know if I knew enough about the Holy Ghost to know who told me. But I knew something told me it had to be God. And she walking across there. Hey, listen, I saw her. I'm talking about the long way around. And I saw her. And so what I did, I was trying to set her up with my roommate because my wife's 5'9" and my roommate was 6'11". And there was a basketball player in the state of Virginia. So I was trying to set them up. And the whole time I was setting them up, I was thinking, how stupid is that? Man, she needs to be with me. Hallelujah. Amen. So anyway, at 19 years old, we got married. She was 20, and that's been 25 years ago. Just celebrate that. Hey, I don't know why in the world sometimes God would let me go that direction, but you know what? If I hadn't been that direction, that little girl never walked across my path. 25 years of my life, I wouldn't have had her. Friend, I don't always understand what God's doing, but I know He's sovereign, and I know He's in control, and sometimes He takes us a long way around. Amen. So the Bible says, back in our text, that the people of God are here. And the Word of God simply says that God led them through the way of the wilderness, of the Red Sea. The Bible also says in a prior verse that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. You know what near says to me there? That's the easier route. And boy, today, you know what? Everybody wants the easy route. You get these young boys called to preach today, and I'm not trying to be mean. But they get called to preach, they think they ought to have a church run 300. Ought to have a choir 75, 80 in it. Ought to have everybody just coming by and wanting to preach every meeting. When God called me to preach, I was going to Bible college full time, working in the mill 9-10 hours,
And listen, our pastoral church had 13 people in it. Had my pulpit up on my arm that was on hinges. Altars were made out of styrofoam. Trying to go to Bible college. Trying to raise a family. Trying to get by. Hey, can I tell you what? I wouldn't take nothing for those days. It makes me appreciate today what God's brought me to. But I appreciate where God brought me from. Amen. The long way around is what I'm talking about this morning. There's some of you in this building, no doubt in your life, you've been going some directions. Listen, I told folks in our church, and I mean this when I was talking to you about them people. I watched some of them go a long way around. I don't understand it. I mean, I've got people, listen, I've got people like every church does that are sorry. I mean, they show up on Sunday number, a bunch of spiritual hobos. They ride the train, but they don't buy a ticket. Huh? I mean, they jump on board. They ain't going to tithe. They ain't going to pray. They ain't going to pay no price. They're not going to listen. I'm telling you, they just get on board and just ride the train. It seems like them folks all the time, I hardly ever hear from them. But boy, you got folks in there. And so they're down on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Cut the lights out on Wednesday. We say we're having revival there in the prayer altars. 24-hour prayer meeting just a couple days ago, and they're right there in the prayer altars, praying, begging God. These are the folks that write the mission checks. These are the folks that tithe, even when things are hard. And buddy, sometime I watch them, and all of a sudden all this chaos comes in their life, and everything. And buddy, I want to hug them, and I want to get to them and say, man, I'm praying for you. But you know what I've learned about that crowd? I've learned a lot of that crowd understands, but it ain't always going to be the easy route. It ain't always going to be the best route. It ain't always going to be the right route. But how? Hallelujah, thank God. God knows the way. Let me give you three little simple things here on the reason God led them the long way around. I'll give them to you and we'll be done and go eat a bite. Number one, God led them the long way around because He knew the scheme of Pharaoh. Say, preacher, what do you mean? God knew the devil wasn't going to quit. God knew the devil wasn't going to quit. Hey, as soon as them people got out of there, Pharaoh got the mission having them in bondage. And Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let them go. And so Pharaoh begins to come out to the people of God. He's got, hey, God, by the way, can I just tell you this? When you got saved by the grace of God, you remember, I knew when I first got saved, I thought, hallelujah, praise God, I'm saved. Thank God, I ain't got to deal with the devil no more. Yeah, right. Then I thought, Lord, God's done called me to preach. I thought, everybody loves a preacher. Man, this is going to be great. And I found out it depends on what kind of preacher you is. Amen? And makes a lot of difference. But understand, God knew the devil wasn't going to leave me alone. God knew the devil was going to stay on my case. God knew the devil was going to come after me. And so in my life, He's led me some different directions. Why? So the devil couldn't catch up with me as quick. He knew the scheme of Pharaoh. He knew that Pharaoh was coming after him. But while he's got him going through that tough route, why he's got them going through that long route. I mean, Pharaoh to catch up with him has got to go through that long route. And he's got to keep on going through that route. And you know what? God was going to take the people of God to a place where they could go, but the devil could not. God was going to take them to a place where they could get through, but the devil could not get through. But He had to take them the long way around. God knew the scheme of Pharaoh. Here's what God said Jesus did to Simon Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The Bible said in 1 Peter, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Hey, there is a devil. I'm telling you, there is a devil. I promise you, if it's ever been unleashed. I've been real blessed in my ministry. Two churches I pastored, one of them for 14 years. And I'll be honest with you, preacher, and I appreciate me to have been there as long as our dear brother, Brother Joe, believe was. I thought I'd be there. I thought that'd be it. I thought it was the only church I'd ever pastor. Three quarters of that congregation I'd led to Christ. Three quarters of them got saved in my ministry. And I thought, man, that's where I'd be the rest of my life. And son, God shut that thing off in me, just like turning a spout off. It was over. It was done. When I went into evangelism for a couple years, I had no meetings, no church support, just stepped out. Went into evangelism and said, God, here I am. And God was leading me that direction. 2 years down the road, Calvary Baptist Church in Statesville, County, Dr. Scott called him one of the best pastors in America. I still convince he's one of the best men of God that I've ever been around in my life. He's pastoring down at Canyon Baptist in Georgia. He and I are close. He preaches for me. I do meetings for them and youth meetings for them. And Dr. Carter was leading that church, going there. And he said, Brother Chris, would you be willing to come and pastor this church? I said, Brother Carter, listen, I've done that pastoring thing 14 years. I said, I'm in evangelism. I go preach. All them people love you to death because they don't know you too well. You don't know them. I said, man, you leave and go here, you know, and preach. And I said, man, I'm done. I'm done pastoring. Well, I didn't know they had a deacon in that church. He was about 80 years old. And he'd went up in a mountain for 2 days. 2 days he'd went up in a mountain. And while I was in a prophet's room preaching a meeting in Thomasville, North Carolina, I didn't know the man. He was up in a mountain praying that God would break me and God would bring me to that church. I woke up about 5 in the morning in Thomasville, North Carolina. I woke up weeping just like somebody died in my family. Had no idea. God had a business what in the world was going on. Holy Ghost of God said, I want you to go to Calvary Baptist Church. I thought, man, I done ate something. I know something I ate. That preacher gave me something night before. It's bothering me. I mean, I've ate something wrong. I said, man, I'm not doing that, God. God said, you're doing it. I'm talking about the long way around. Now, listen to me. I end up calling him. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pray about it. Here's exactly how I pray. God, I told him I'd pray. So, Lord, I'm praying, but you know, God, I don't want to go up there. I don't want to pass. I'm happy what I'm doing. But, God, I told him I'd pray. So, the whole time I was trying to lie to God, and the whole time I was trying to talk to God, God was, boy, He was whipping me, son. You know why I didn't want to go? I'll be honest with you. I don't want to follow one of the best pastors in America. I don't want to follow a man got honey dripping off of him all the time. I ain't never met a man with that good a personality. I don't have it. Man, I'm introverted. I go and meet. Sometimes people think I'm stuck up. I'll sit somewhere by myself. I mean, until I get in the pulpit, I'm just kind of introverted. I mean, listen, I'd rather be on a motorcycle running 170 miles an hour on a racetrack than I'd be around people talking. It's just weird to me. It's just weird to me. Amen? I mean, I've been racing motorcycles all my life. You put a helmet on my head, get me away from everybody, I'm ready to go. But I get around folks. As a pastor, man, I walk up on a platform Sunday morning, got all the announcements, do all that stuff, and I'm doing all that, but I'm thinking, Lord, I'll be glad when I get to preach. Amen? I mean, it's tough. Huh? But don't you listen. I didn't want to follow that. I didn't want to go up there. The church was supporting at that time about 140 missionaries. Faith Promise Missions above their tithe. I'd never even been involved in a Faith Promise Mission program like that. I didn't want to go do that. I mean, I didn't know what to do. I mean, our church had gave tithe toward missions and done stuff toward missions, but I'd never been a part of nothing like that. I called Brother Al Marcus and said, Brother Al Marcus, God leads me up here. You better help me. I have no idea what to do. You know, Brother Alan, all Brother Chris, it'll be all right. God's in it. I said, that's the part I want you to make sure of. Amen. Got to make sure of. And I go up there to Calvary and get up there. And buddy, when God called me to that place, long way around, and when God got me there now, getting ready to finish 7 years in October, that attendance in that church had doubled. Went over 200 missionaries. God has met the need. Put a staff of people working around so we can do meetings and do what we're doing. You say, preacher, what do you say? I'm saying it took a big route. I'm saying it took a long route. I'm saying that I had to go a different direction. God knew the scheme of Pharaoh. Now, here's why I told you that. I told Brother Rackley, we got him. I asked Brother Rackley to come to a meeting for us this week. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Hey, Brother Rochester, listen, you're not the only one that goes through battles. I know you know that. But I'm going to tell you why. There's a lot of men of God right here. I don't care who you are. I don't care how many meetings you preach. I don't care who knows your name. It don't matter. That devil don't have no respect for you whatsoever. It doesn't bother him, buddy. We are nothing compared. And that's all he cares about is destroying our lives. Let me tell you something. In the last 3 or 4 months, I've never fought the devil in my ministry like I have. I'm being honest. And listen. I'm going to tell you what, when you're preaching, some of you men know, when you're preaching on the road, and you go on the road, and all people love you, you know, and you go help with church, and they're all patting you on the back, and see, they don't know a thing about you. And the thing's hard about pastoring is, you've got to preach to the people that you know how they live. You know everything about their lives, pretty much. They know you. You've got to do that week in, week out. So they get very familiar with you. That's why we look so good when we go somewhere else, because people don't know enough. Amen. I'm sorry to be so honest, but you know I'm telling it right. You go out in your own church and look at you like a calf staring at a new gate. Like, hurry up, man, we got to get to lunch. Go somewhere else, they shout the wall down. Amen? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But anyway, make a long story short. Listen, I'm not talking about division. I thank God we haven't had that. But just one family after another being destroyed, shipwrecked. I preached 2 weeks ago. I ain't told him a thing about it. I preached 2 weeks ago on shipwrecking your life from Acts 27. I ain't told him a thing about it. And I preach, I've had teenage girls shipwreck their life. I've had families ruined. I've seen people, I'm talking about people of faith. I'm talking about tithe. I'm talking about giving. And I looked at the other day, and my wife, now she's not the fourth person, because there's only three in the Trinity, but man, you preachers know you're talking about. If you got one of them wives, I've never had a day since we've been married 25 years, I've seen my wife pray and read the Word of God in 25 years. And listen, I'm telling you, she preaches to me on the way home. Lord, have mercy. Any of you men ever have a wife preach to you on the way home? I mean, Lord, you know how we are as preachers. Man, the offering was down a couple Sundays, and the crowd was off, and that with all them people going through battles, and I'm looking at a calendar thinking, well, my Lord, I'm preaching in 2010. I can just go preach and go do it. I ain't got to put up with all of this. And I'd be saying that out loud, and my wife would be just looking at me. Wouldn't say just looking at me. She said, yeah, that's good. I said, what's good? She said, yeah, you done screamed and hollered to him about staying with it. Stay with the ship. I said, look, baby, listen, you just listen to me, all right? Amen. God didn't call you. Just listen to me. Huh? She looked up one day, she said, "You better be glad God don't call women, because I believe I can do it better." Amen. Hey, I'm telling you why, man. Honest before God, she was right. The devil turned the heat up. The devil said, "I'll find out what you're made of." But you know what I've learned? I've learned no matter which way the route's going, somewhere standing in the shadows, you'll find God. And He'll be right there. And He'll show up. And He'll show out. And He'll move and bless. Some preacher in this building called me a while back. I won't tell you who he is. Called me a while back. Said, "Preacher, I mean, listen, folks been getting saved. Church been growing. Boy, they've been having just a time." And then he called me one day. When I answered the phone, I could tell this ain't good. Because since I'm like, "Brother Haslam, I need to talk to you." And I thought, "I know he don't know nothing about me, so it must be something about him." And he got telling me, he said, "Preacher, I got these folk coming to church. They look so pretty. More days going to help. They're going to do everything so good, man. They were just going to help." And behind the scenes the whole time, they were trying their best to stab him. Whole time. Finally, he realized what it was. And he called me and said, "Preacher, I don't know what to do." He said, "Man, they're going to tire it up." He said, "Man, people getting saved, church going, they're going to tire it up." He said, "I called some other men of God." He said, "Preacher, I have respect for you." He said, what do you think I ought to do?" I said, "I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to go to him and tell him he needs to get right with God. He needs to stop doing what he's doing. If he ain't going to stop doing what he's doing, you need to church him." I said, "Because it's better off you lose him than have that whole church tore up." He said, "Preacher, I ain't never done that before." I said, "Son, I've done it about 3 or 4 times. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not fun and you'll weep through it. I'm telling you right now, it'll break your heart. But I'm telling you, if you don't do it, that whole church is going to be destroyed." He said, "Preacher, you ain't going to believe it." He said, "When I did that, I ain't never done nothing like it." He said, "I had a man walk in my office, and a man walked in my office." He said, "A big old man. I'd led that man to Christ. He's towered about 2 stories over me. Walked in my office and locked the door behind him when he walked in my office after I did that." He said, "He reckoned he did it to intimidate me." And he said, "He come in there and he threw his key down and said, 'I'm done with this. As long as you're the pastor of the church, I have nothing else to do with it.'" That preacher said he gave him a copy of the bylaws of the church, gave him the Word of God, where God said to do things right. He said a few weeks down the road, he got a phone call one day, and the man called him on the phone and said, "Preacher, just want you to know I've been reading Scripture and everything. I'm going to apologize to you and tell you, appreciate you doing what you did. Appreciate you standing right. I apologize for not standing with my pastor, not standing with the Word of God." You say, "Preacher, what happened?" He said, "Preacher, last Sunday, they gave me a raise." Hallelujah. "Voted me a raise last Sunday. And some folks been getting saved. We've been baptizing people. Sometimes it's a long way around. But God knows where the devil's at. And He knows what the devil's doing." Amen. God knew the scheme of Pharaoh. Real quickly, secondly, God knew the strength of the Philistines. Say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" The Bible said God didn't lead them by the way of the Philistines. Can I tell you something tonight? There's some battles that you're not ready for. See, Israel, they come out of Egypt. They weren't warriors. They were slaves. They're working in mud pits. Philistines were warriors. Philistines trained in battle. It wasn't that God couldn't give them victory. But the deal was, God knew what a lot of them would do when the battle got hot. Now I know today everybody's so spiritual. I'm amazed. I tell people today, I'm amazed how much people think of themselves today. I told them a while back, I said, I've been meetings before where preachers signed their own Bibles. I mean, just to be totally honest with you, man. I've never seen the likes of it in my life. Friend, you realize we're all but dirt. One for the grace of God, we wouldn't be anything. Hey, the very fact that I could be in this building tonight, eat a meal with you today rather than fellowship, sit a good men of God preach like I heard this morning, sit around, hey, that's just the good grace of God. I don't deserve it. I ought to be in hell. Ain't a thing about me worthy of anything apart from the blood of Christ. And realize today it's all God, not us. Amen. I want you to understand today, God knew the strength of the Philistines. See, sometimes God leads us a long way around because the battles are going to be pretty big. And God said, "Well, I'm going to take them this way. They don't have to face that yet." And God took them around. They were going to face them one day. A little fellow by the name of David is going to take care of it. But don't you understand, right now, God's got to lead them a long way around. Long way around. Because some of them battles are going to be strong. Hey, you know what I've learned in my life? I'm learning in my life that God will let me deal with the battles that He's ready for me to deal with. And God knows before I get there that I'm going through them. Let me tell you what I grew up on a chicken farm. My dad raised chickens. Now, I'm not talking about chickens that you go and they lay eggs and they put them in the thing. I'm talking about my dad raised game chickens. My dad had chickens that could whoop people in the UFC fighting. I mean, my dad had chickens that were bad to the bone. I'm talking about chickens when you walk through the lot, they look at you and say, "Hey, want some?" I'm talking about my dad was into gambling, had some mean chickens. That's what I was raised around. Coming up as a boy, some of the best times of my life, we had a little area down in the woods that my dad called the chicken lot. Had a little old barn sitting down in there and had a chicken lot down in here. And my dad had two metal chairs sitting there. And so, and I preached my dad's funeral. He's in glory now. But one of the sweetest times of my life, I sat down in two little chairs with my daddy right down there in the chicken lot. And we'd sit down, my daddy, he'd take a little feed in a little tin cup, and he'd toss it out, and them little chicks come running up and chirping. And my daddy, he'd sit there for hours and watch chickens eat. I never understood it. But I'd sit there with him because I like being around my daddy. And I'd sit there and we'd watch that. Been many a time on a spring, summer afternoon, I'd be sitting there with my daddy, he'd be tossing out Brother Hardin, he'd be tossing out that feed. And all of a sudden, way off in the distance, you hear a rumble. Way off. Just a little rumble. And then it wouldn't be long to... All of a sudden, the trees would get to rustling. There'd be a little breeze come through. And then them hens in the lot begin to make all kind of funny noise. Oh, all kind of noise. I can't make a chicken noise, but I mean all kind of noise. And they make them noise. And all them little chicks from all over that lot, they wouldn't run to some other hen. They'd run to their mama. And here's what she'd do. She'd just raise her wings. And son, they'd go running under there, and it wouldn't be long. And mama would close them wings. Won't be long, you hear some drops hitting the tin roof there in the chicken lot. All of a sudden, the lightning's a flashing, the thunder's a rolling, the wind's a blowing. Them little chicks are all up under there underneath those wings. While the storm's going, they're all underneath them wings. Hey, they're all. Why? Because they couldn't handle the storm. Hallelujah. Hey, because they couldn't handle the storm. No way they could handle it. It'd blow them away. It'd drown them in the water. But they were underneath the wings of that mother, and that mother was taking care of them. And when the storm passed by, they'd all run back over that lot and begin to play again and enjoy that day. God said, they shall wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God knew the strength of the Philistines. Why did God lead them a long way around? Well, He had to take care of Pharaoh's army, but He had to take care of them a certain place. Let me give you this final thing. God knew the struggle of the people. God knew the struggle of the people. I want to be honest with you guys and tell you something, and I mean this. There have been a lot of times in my life I've always been raised. My daddy had five boys, and he raised us country boys. He raised us, you know, if you got in a fight, if you didn't win it, make it look like you were there. I mean, you know, he just raised us to be that way. And most of the time, I just looked like I was there. but can I tell you something? I've always considered myself to be strong, you know, in myself. But, buddy, when I got into the ministry, Lord, I realized how weak I am. There's things I thought I could handle. Some of y'all have never heard my testimony. My dad died, and I don't have time to give you that this morning. But some of you have heard it. There's been some meetings I've been in, and you've probably heard it in my church. But when my daddy died, son, I was on the way home on a Thanksgiving. And I pulled into the driveway, and they had taken my daddy. My dad had emphysema. They took him many times. He'd get better. You ever had anybody in your life that had emphysema? They'd give him prednisone to get better, go home, get another cold, go back to pneumonia. And that was a reoccurrence. This particular Thanksgiving day, that all changed. And my dad got that, and he was dying with heart failure. And I'll never forget, Brother Racky, you've heard me tell it. I'll never forget, I walked in the room, my daddy was second floor, left-hand door of Alamance County Hospital. I walked in, left door right there in intensive care. My dad was coming off anywhere from 9 to 12 inches off the bed trying to get a breath. He was dying. I just got home, my wife and I just got home. Son, I walked in that room. When I walked in that room, my little mama sitting over there, I've been married to him close to 50 years, she's a-weeping. My brother sitting on the side there crying. I walk in, I'm the preacher. He's now part of my church. God had changed his life. And I was weeping. They weeping. I walked in, and I talked to him a minute and held my daddy's hand, prayed with him, and I was going to go back home and come back to the hospital. I no more got in the door at home. And the phone rung, and they said, I've had a lot of family I've had to do this to, but it was my first time. They said, preacher, and they knew me from the hospital. They said, preacher, you need to come to the hospital. Said, they're calling the family in. Oh, hey, I knew what that meant. And can I tell y'all something? I did something then that I never thought I'd do in my life. I looked at my wife and I said, I can't do it. That's exactly what it did. I remember the exact words. I can't do it. She said, you can't do it. I said, Wendy, I can't. I said, if I go back to the hospital, I'm going to lose it. If I go back to the hospital, they all know I'm a preacher. And I was about to die inside, man. Every memory of every time we sat in that chicken lot, every memory of everything we'd ever done together, I talked to my daddy about Christ. I mean, I said, man, I can't do it. And I couldn't. I mean, honestly, I could not do it. That's why it just bothers me. I hear people all the time say, oh, God will never put more on you than you're able to bear. Read that in the context of Scripture. Friend, you'll get a lot of times in your life more than you're able to bear. You better be glad God can touch you and God can carry you. Tell you what it did. You probably heard this, what it is. I walked out behind my house. It's a little path my daughter and I had made where we walked the dog behind the yard in the woods. I walked out in the woods by myself, Brother Willis. There's a tree blown down by a storm out in the woods. I got out there at that tree and I got down on my knees. And I simply told God, this is exactly what I told him about Joshua, I'm not making it up. I said, God, I can't. I said, God, I don't know what to do. I can't do it. So I was weeping. Then all of a sudden I thought that my daughter let the dog run on the path. He knew I was after her. He'd come out there. And you ever been somewhere before and you thought there was something come up on you, like something behind you? Now I'm still independent of my bad, so don't freak out on me. Lord, you can't tell anything around Baptist anymore. They go, oh, I better be careful about that. Yeah. We were shouting before that other crowd ever come along, man. Amen. Lord God, we were running pews and shouting, having a time before they ever came along. Quit letting God scare us, amen. Amen. But anyway, I was there, thought the dog had come up, or somebody, my wife come out to get me, and I just looked up and looked around with nobody, nothing. I thought, man, I know something. Well, nothing. And I promise, can I see you a minute, preacher? I promise you, kneel down right there. Just like you pray. I promise you before God, I promise you, the next thing happened in my life was I felt like two arms went like just like this. Wasn't nobody there? But I felt like two arms and just pulled me. I mean, pulled me, man. Nobody around me. I looked. I made sure it wasn't. I thought, Lord, I'm losing it. There's nobody there. You can come up, preacher. Nobody there. But you know what had happened? Son, God had met me in those woods and God said, son, I know you can't. Now I'm going to tell you what happened. God, I'm talking about the long way around. Some of you ain't heard this, I'll give it to you. I'm talking about the long way around. I get back to the hospital. I go up there. God's giving me strength. I think, man, I can do this. I go up in the room. Sure enough, my dad's breathing shallow. He's trying to drink a cup of water in his hand, shaking water, spilling off on his body. And I hold his hand, put the cup up to his mouth, and I looked at my dad and I said, Dad, I wish there was something I could do. He looked at me, so help me, I'll never forget these words. I'll hug him in glory when I get there. He looked at me and he said, son, you already have. One day we talked about Jesus going to get some chicken feed. Hey, I'm talking about the long way around. It ain't over yet. So about 3, 4, 5 days, I begged God to take my daddy. And he didn't. My daddy suffered for 4 days in a row. I'm talking about the struggle of the people. Son, I started getting mad. I'd go pray and I'd pray to ask God to help. And I'd start getting frustrated. And I'd say, God, I don't understand. He's ready to go. Let him go. Finally, my wife and I was out at the room. My mom sat by his bedside. My dad went on to heaven. When he did, my mother had a heart attack in the very room. Fell out. Heart attack. I'm a mama's boy. Don't make your sissy be a mama's boy. I'm a mama's boy. She had a heart attack in the very room my dad just died in. They're grabbing a gurney, taking her to the second floor intensive care he'd just come out of. I'm standing in the room. All my brothers are running up the hall. Go and check on mama. Nurse comes in, and she begins to put a cover over my daddy's head. I said, ma'am, if you don't mind, I appreciate if you wouldn't do that. And she took all the oxygen off. It's the first time I've seen my dad not have oxygen on his body in 20 years. I stood in that room. My daddy laying there, he's going to heaven. Now I'm going to tell you, you can believe what you want to, but it wasn't no angel come guide him, I'm telling you. Amen. I promise you, just like Stephen, when I believe my daddy left for glory, I believe Jesus stood up, welcomed him home. I could feel the presence of God in that room. My wife and I sitting there, praise God a little while, Brother Willis, worship God a little while. And we just had a good time. It's when God gave me a message about crossing the Red Sea. But anyway, we got done. I'm talking about the long way around. So now I head up to the second floor, intensive care waiting room, where my mom was in the very same ward. My dad had just been moved to another floor to die where he started out. I open the door of the intensive care waiting room, and the first thing I hear is not a beep of a monitor. The first thing I hear is Amazing Grace. When I open the door, that's what I hear. Somebody singing Amazing Grace. I come around the corner, Brother Willis. My mom was in a room, monitors on her, and there's a little black nurse standing there beside of her, knowing Jesus. And she was standing there singing the only way she could sing it, Amazing Grace. My mama had a hand up in her hand, right there in that room. You know what God said to me? God said to me, son, it'll never get too hard. It'll never be too big. Your struggle will become my conquer. I promise you I'll help you. Friend, I'll preach my daddy's funeral. Folk got saved. God knew my mama shouted on the front row. But I had to go the long way around. Most of us as Christians, we don't want the long way. God, we want you to do it. We want you to do it right now. We want you to do it our way. And I'm not lying to you, so do I. Everybody likes the easy way. Don't tell me. You know, we'd all be in better shape if diets were easy. I'm an M&M-aholic, man. I'm addicted to M&Ms. I mean, I am. My name's Chris Hazelman. I'm an M&M-aholic. I'll admit to you in a minute. Son, you put almond M&Ms in front of me, I can't say no. I'll go through Walmart and get to sweating. I mean, I'm telling you, man, I say, this is easy, buddy. I'd never eat them because it just does something to you. It helps your ministry to grow. I'd never eat them. We always want the easy route. Finally, God leads Israel. You know the story. They get to the Red Sea. I'm finished here. Y'all neat. Didn't know it was that long. Y'all too easy to preach to. I get some places you go 20 minutes, man. I'm just trying to get there. Hey, man. I get to the Red Sea. They get to the Red Sea. Now, if I'm not mistaken now, some of you men are very knowledgeable. There's over 3 million of them. All right? There's over 3 million of them going across the Red Sea. That means now that some of them probably going to get to the other side while some of them still in the middle of it. And there's a good possibility that some of them ain't even got started. Now you imagine some old boy get to the other side going, well, hallelujah to God, we made it. But there might be some old boy in the middle of it. And that wind's a blowing, and them big waves on either side, and all them fish are twirling around, and he's kicking up dust in the middle of it. He might start saying, man, I don't know. Lord, what if that comes down? All of a sudden that boy holler from the other end, hey, it'll be all right. We made it. Keep on coming. We made it. All of a sudden, there's old boy on the other side. And he's getting ready to take his little family in the middle of that Red Sea. And he steps down. I think, man, I don't know. Man, I don't know. I don't know. Old boy hollers out in the middle, hey! I done heard from the other side. And they said they made it. And if they made it, we make it too. Come on! Every now and then in that Bible, every now and then somewhere in this land, every now and then in a prayer closet, I hear God say, hey, just keep on coming. Hey, just keep on going. You make it. Just keep on coming. Then, Brother Rochester, the devil tries what God just did. Oh, he's chased them a long way. It's been a long... Hey, it's been a long journey. So the devil said, I'm going to do it. God said, no, you ain't. You done chased as far as you're going to chase. You done as much as you're going to do. You ain't going no farther. And the devil steps in the water. And God closes the door. And they get on the other side. And shout the joy of the word God brings. And the songwriter said, through many dangers, toils, and trials, I have already come. Grace have brought me this far, and grace will take me home.
Amen.
Say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Brother Ackley, I appreciate that message because I have never seen people bogged down as much as they are right now. I never have. I tell people, our church needs revival, man. We got people beat up. And I don't mean division. I mean, I got a good church, got a great choir, got good folks around me. But I've had people beat up recently more than I ever have in my ministry. Little mama's coming in crying. Teenage girl's going crazy. Family's broken. Preacher, I ain't never seen it like it. I ain't never seen it like it. I mean, listen, I'm not that young. I'm 25 years doing this. I ain't never seen it like it. You know what? But every now and then, God just, He'll give me a nugget. Every now and then, when you're just about ready, Brother Roger, I'm telling you, man. Hey, can I encourage you? Some of them teenagers you got, listen. You know me. I work with young people. I preach to young people across the country. I work with teenagers. But you got some young people in your youth group. Boy, I believe you're going to be champions for Christ. If they lost their preacher, I don't know if they'd make it. Amen. I'm telling you, man, if they lost you, I don't know if they'd make it, Miss Jenny. I'm being honest. Because they got you. But listen, they know where God brought you from. Crackhead down in the gutter going nowhere. Saved you by the grace of God. Called you to preach. Put you in the ministry. Serving God. Them youngins know where God brought the preacher from. One of my dear friends, and I'll quit, was Brother Teague Gross. I love Brother Teague. He pastored Mount Airy, North Carolina. Great church, Temple Baptist in Mount Airy. Brother Teague was a friend. He was diagnosed with cancer. Y'all, if y'all know him, remember that. Thought he beat it, man. I mean, really thought he beat it. Come back on him. Never forget one time he was preaching, Brother Willis, in a meeting. And he preached a message on, I want my towel back. I ain't never heard nothing like it. He preached on Job discovering dark, deep things in dark places. He had cancer. He's dying. And he said, done threw his towel in. Said, that's it, man. I'm done. He said he was preaching one time. Said he still had cancer and he's leaving. But he said, devil, if you don't mind, I want my towel back. He said, because when I quit, I'll quit breathing. But until I get my towel back. It's easy to say that when you don't have cancer. So this morning, what I'm trying to say to you is that sometime we've got to go the long way around. I don't like the long way. I'm not going to lie to you. I'll be one of these preachers to be totally superficial. I'm a long way from trying to impress anybody. So I'll just tell you straight up front. I don't like the long way. I want God to bless my church. I want it to be the greatest church in the world. I want to outgrow Joel Osteen. That's exactly right. Huh? I want Larry King to call me and interview me. So I won't be some stinking little coward. But I'll tell people Jesus is the only way to heaven. And I won't bow down to a bunch of Muslims and other folk. But I'm going to tell you something, man. Every time, sometimes it seems like you take 10 steps forward. You know what? My wife really encouraged me the other day. I was having one of them parties. Now, I know most people are a lot more spiritual than I am, but y'all pray for me. I was having one of them parties, you know, and I was, bless God, they wasn't here. Lord, them offering wasn't here. You know, just doing the opposite of what we preach. Then we fuss at people not listening to us. You know? And I was having one of them parties, Brother Willis. Oh, Lord. My wife looked over at me, and she said to him, she said, Chris, I'm going to be honest with you. And my wife's spiritual lady, we're very close, still best friends today. And I said, what, baby? She said, the way you preach and some stands you take, I don't know if you're ever going to have a bigger church than Joel Osteen. I said, baby, I ain't but 28,800 behind him. Hey, guys, can I tell you something? We're still going the best route. It might be a long route sometimes, but we're still going the best route. So I want to encourage you this morning, even if you're going the long way around. I quit trying to understand everything. But if you're going the long way around tonight, or this morning, preach the night to me, but this morning, if you're going the long way around, just remember, didn't Brother Mays say it well? I think it was Brother Mays, when it's somewhere standing in the shadows, you'll find God. I heard that as a boy when I was in Bible college. So I want to encourage you this morning, though it may be a long route, there will come a time where the devil is going to step in where he can't step. Ship of Zion is getting ready to pull in the port. And by the way, don't preach the Ship of Zion. It's all tattered and the sails are hanging in the water and the boat's all beat to death. Study your Bible about them under-rowers. In 1 Corinthians 4, I believe it is, stewards, those under-rowers were down in the third level of them Roman ships, and they always pulled to a cadence and pulled together. Nobody ever saw them. Nobody ever knew they were there, but they would have kept the boat going during the storm, kept the boat going. Then prayer warriors, then nursery workers, all them people pulling the time down there. Nobody else knows about them under-rowers. But one day, guess what? The captain of our salvation is going to pull that ship into port. Sails are going to come down. He's going to holler down below, hey, lay yours down. It's over. We won't come in tattered and torn, beat up. Praise God, we're His church. We're His church. Father, thank you so much this morning. The great message Brother Rackley challenged us with. For this good church, good Spirit of God and His men of God. Lord, I thank you that God, though sometimes we go the long way, if we follow you, it'll always be the right way. So, Lord, I pray you'll help the service this morning. It's been a great invitation already. God, you just do whatever you need to do. But Lord, I pray, God, when we're going the tough route. Lord, I know it's easy preaching and tough living. And so, God, I pray you'd help us to live it when we face it. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for getting us out of Egypt. Thank you for getting us out of bondage. Thank you for the blood setting us free. Thank you for a many Red Sea we've been able to cross. Thank you for a many victory. Lord, help us to see the positive. Don't let the devil make us focus on the negative. Lord, we thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, you come.